All right, guys, so today we're going to break down three very important figures in the book of Acts. Welcome to Cross Connection Acts. We're so excited that you're joining us, and we're so excited to be joined by Mars and Justin. We're excited to break this down, guys.
Yes, and it's actually a very interesting chapter, chapter 16, because we will talk about three characters.
Yes.
First is Timothy. Mm-hmm. Second one is the place of Macedonia with Luke. Luke.
And the third you're going to have to watch till the end. We're not going to tell you that one now.
Okay. And the third one is Lydia. But No. But this is important. So it's two men and one woman. So we will see a very interesting development that is happening. And we will begin with Timothy.
Right.
Timothy. So before we do, let us pray. And Mars, could you lead us in prayer?
Yes. Father, I ask you to guide us by the same spirit that guided your apostles. Thank you. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay. So, Sergio, could you tell us Timothy? Because this is for the first time we see Timothy
yes.
in the book of Acts.
First of the three we're going to look at. Let's take a look at Timothy's.
But he was so prominent that Paul, later on, will write a letter to Timothy.
Absolutely.
So let's take a look
absolutely.
At him.
So Timothy, as we encounter him here in Acts chapter 16, is a young man of Jewish and Gentile descent. And he meets with Paul and begins to travel with him here in this section. And as you mentioned, Oleg, he becomes an evangelist for Jesus and actually develops a very close relationship, almost a father-son relationship with Paul, to the point where he writes to him a couple of times, and we have that in Scripture, as well as mentions him many other times in other letters. So they worked very closely.
So when we look at the identity of Timothy, what is this identity? His mother was
Jewish.
Mm-hmm. His father was
Greek.
Greek. It's verse 1. You can follow it very easy. Chapter 16, verse 1.
It's not hiding. It's right there.
But he was uncircumcised, so clearly he was not a part of the Jewish culture.
Okay, right. So this is crucial. So he was raised by a Jewish mother.
Yeah, but she raised him in the Greek fashion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then
she's fallen away probably from the... Yeah.
Probably, yes. And then, but he's chosen by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to be one of the prominent apostles, one of the prominent figures in the early church.
Yes.
He was one of the youngest ones, probably, younger ones. So, but what can we learn from this? It's just like the Holy Spirit chooses a person who is not even maybe extremely very well versed.
Right. Well, I know that in some circles, and Oleg, you know this better than me, but in some circles of that world, being of mixed descent was not the highest, people would not hold you in the highest esteem. Mm-hmm. Yet, it seems that God here through the Holy Spirit is taking what could have been in some circles a stain on Timothy and his family and is actually using it as an advantage because Timothy he's a Jew, but he also knows the ways of the Gentile world, the Greek world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he knows both, and we can assume that her mom taught him something about the Scripture. We can just presuppose that this is what probably was happening. Mm-hmm. So he knew the Scripture, but he also knew the Greek world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So today we often talk about church as something that it should be
separate,
completely separate from even culture.
Right.
In the world. So what is going on? Like, can we maybe? Maybe there is something wrong in this notion.
I think sometimes we can be driven by a spirit of fear, which is to say that we get so concerned, and it may be coming from a good place, to protect ourselves, to protect our church communities, that they not be defiled by the ways of the world. But I think when one is filled with the Holy Spirit and is really rooted in your faith and has a desire to share that faith with the world, then you really want to break open any bubbles that might exist in your reality and maybe even get to know how does the world think? What's the culture like? What's the zeitgeist like?
And God doesn't need you to defend him, A.
Yes.
And B, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
Yes.
Yeah. C, all things were created by him and for him and through him all things consist. Mm-hmm. And so this is, we're dealing with God's creation. It's not separate from him, except that it's fallen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is important because if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the discernment will be present.
Yes.
So you will be able to identify what is of as you said, like of God's spirit, of God's this muse. The word muse. It's also like the inspiration.
Yeah.
Is the inspiration given by God, Or is this inspiration given by greed? Or is this inspiration by money-driven or in something else? Or sin, pride, whatever that may be. And you see it. You see it.
No, and Timothy would have been, who, as a young man, would have just been just like anyone else, you know, and he would have been tapped into his community, to his culture, to people's ways of thinking. And as someone who then becomes filled with the Holy Spirit and transformed by God, you can use that absolutely as a tool to communicate with people and
just,
reach people.
Just like you have to speak the same language, English, Spanish, French, to communicate with somebody. Sometimes you have to speak the same cultural language, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's why we see what the
circumcised.
The message.
It's circumcised. Yeah,
the message to the Gentiles was given by Paul, by Timothy, by Barnabas, those who were also open to the Greek world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why Peter didn't go to the Gentiles, besides just this one occasion that we read about Cornelius.
Yeah.
But everything else is just, who does it? Paul does it.
Yeah,
who does it? Timothy does it.
Yeah.
So, but there's an incident that you pointed out. It's actually verse 3.
Right.
Let's read verse 3. So Paul and Timothy, they're joining. So Mars, could you read
this? Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in the region, for all knew that his father was Greek.
So look at this grown-up man, I mean, grown-up gentleman. Yeah, yeah. Now he's like, he wasn't circumcised on the 8th day, so let me circumcise you on the 18th year. I don't know.
Just 10,000, yeah.
When you can remember. When it's firm in your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
That is commitment.
Right. Well, but it's also a little strange for us who have been going through Acts and going, wait a
chapter
minute.
Chapter 15.
That's not, yeah. We just debated this.
We just debated
this in the last chapter and said, no, it's not needed. It's not a burden we're going to place on the Gentiles. And yet, the next thing Paul does is he puts that burden on poor Timothy. So.
But it's in the context of accommodating a culture rather than rejecting a culture.
Or because your own culture demanded it.
Right.
Your own belief.
As you put it before, speaking the language.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Because this is so important. Because sometimes it's like we do not take culture into consideration when we do missionary work.
Yes. Right.
We go
yes.
and we just plant our own culture into that culture and think this is the only culture.
Right. Yeah. That we go into the tribe and we need to get them to stop wearing those ridiculous outfits and they need to start wearing suits and ties, and that is our method of evangelizing
them. Or we enter churches presenting also our own culture and say, and we start judging people for this way they worship because we think that this is not the right culture, because our culture is the right culture.
Yeah, right.
This is what Paul says, nonsense.
Yeah. Lord help us.
No, but this is what he says. He says, okay, so we took this different doctrine. We said circumcision is no more valuable.
Right.
No problem. But if this is a stumbling block to others, I will circumcise.
Right.
If it's a stumbling block.
This is amazing. If he says, their entire MO is how can we share the gospel with as many people as possible?
Yes.
So
yes.
If this is a stumbling block, to Timothy's credit, he's willing to go, okay, let's undergo this horrifying procedure for a grown man to undergo, and I'll do it so that it won't be a stumbling block to people in this region.
I think that's key, because it says, for they all knew his father was a Greek.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's interesting to think, well, what if they didn't know that? What if he wasn't as known?
Right.
Would it be necessary? Mm. They're just like, this guy's like me.
It shows that Timothy's mission was to stay in that area.
Yeah.
He was determined to convert his community. So since I'm going to stay here, they know me. I'll undergo this thing, and I'll be able to convert people in my region.
No, but this is so crucial, because it speaks to us. It speaks to us, whatever role we take right now.
Yeah.
Whether we are Paul, whether we are Timothy.
I'm all things. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
Yes. So if I need to be circumcised, I will be circumcised. If I need to do something, I will do
whatever. I'm a Jew. To the Gentile, I'm a Gentile. Paul, whatever it takes to reach people. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you're liberal or conservative in this case. This is what he says. I'm a liberal or conservative. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Because what we do everything to glorify and to continue the message. Okay, the message is continuous. The message continues. And we will talk about Macedonia, very, very mystical
vision.
Vision. So are you excited about it? Because we are. So stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll continue our discussion after this break. Welcome back. And we just talked about Timothy. So Timothy was, his mother was a Jew, his father was a Greek, and then he was also raised in two worlds. two worlds. So he knew the scripture really well, and he probably knew the Greek
culture.
Literature and culture really well, and Greek food. I'd like to know more Greek food.
Exactly. Go for some Greek food right now.
Jewish and Greek. Yeah. So what is happening next is just incredible, because Paul actually chooses to circumcise him, and Timothy says, "Of course, let's do it," because this is something that will advance the kingdom. But the culture. Remember, we talked about the culture. Mm-hmm. Do not try to change the culture that already exists. It's culture.
Yeah.
It's culture. It's nothing. It's not a sin to have a different culture.
Right. Yeah. You are not saved or lost based on your culture.
It's the context in which people understand things, how they understand the way the world
works. And the context in which they're born.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
So if you want to reach them, you need to reach them in that context. Otherwise,
that's what Christ did. That was literally Christ's method, was to come become sin for us.
Yeah. Excellent. So now we talk about Macedonia. So this is a very peculiar story, because as Mars was saying before we started recording this program, you said it's just Luke includes these passages where it's just superficial.
He shadow drops the supernatural.
Supernatural.
He just kind of like slips it in. I didn't even really mention it.
So let's
the Spirit was speaking to everybody. Right.
So let's see what is happening in verse 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. Mars, could you read verses 9 and 10?
Yeah. 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them.
Okay. So why Sergio is so excited? Because I know Sergio has a very, very interesting take on this.
Well, I do, but I think this maybe we could start by talking
about Luke,
who you may not have seen the name Luke pop up in here, but it did in its own way, because all the way up into Acts, up until this point, particularly verse 10, it says, and then they did this, and then he did that, and then they went over to do this. But here in verse 10, we read, I'll read it again, he says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately
we
sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel.
Four guys,
what is
us,
this we stuff?
Yeah. So at first I would be writing about Sergio and Justin,
right.
And I would be writing, and then say, we.
So Luke actually, from this point, for a little bit and beyond, not for the whole thing, but for some of it, he is now a first-hand witness. He's there with them. Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at Luke, our second character for today, with our character profile. Luke, firstly, is the author of the Gospel of Luke, but he is also the author here of the Book of Acts. It's kind of like Luke's sequel, if you want to look at it that way. He's also a physician, or we believe he was a physician. We have a lot of reason to think he would have been a physician. And starting here in verse 10 of chapter 16, he travels with Paul to Macedonia, witnessing and assisting in Paul's ministry. So he's there writing down a first-hand account, and he's also helping in the ministry. And it's in these portions, they're called the we passages, that really the action slows down, and we see things described in more detail now, because Luke is actually there to see it and write about it.
It's very interesting. And what we also see is just, it's a very supernatural way of coming and asking for
Paul. Ancient internet.
Internet. So this is a serious internet. Like.
Seriously. And we'll see it used again later on when Paul, it's way later on, but the disciples in Jerusalem warn Paul not to come to Jerusalem. Mm. And they say they do it by the Spirit. Mm. What is that?
So why do you think Luke includes this passage?
Right.
Macedonia. Of course, we give it away because he is part of this now.
Right.
But what else?
But it's interesting that he mentions the call and he mentions the vision, but he doesn't spend a lot of time talking about, and then when we were in Macedonia, all this amazing stuff happened. He doesn't talk about that, even though he was there to see it. What he really mentions is the vision and this mysterious man of Macedonia.
So let's take a look at the map and we will see where exactly that Macedonia actually is. So if you look at the map, we will see that Macedonia is actually right here.
Oh, wow.
This is Macedonia.
Yeah.
You see this Macedonia? So this is the place. So this is where they went, all the way from these places to Macedonia.
You have to have a vision to go all the way over there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It actually was in chapter 15. We read that they were in Jerusalem, so all the way from Jerusalem to Macedonia.
Way over there.
It's a serious journey.
Yeah.
Sergio, I really enjoyed what you said.
We were talking about it because we were like, who is this man of Macedonia? Why is he not mentioned by name? And who's this appearing? And at least for me, the history buff that I am, when I think of a man of Macedonia, I only think of Alexander the Great.
The Great.
comes to my mind. This man who tried to conquer the entire world, and it's in, you know, the famous phrase, when Alexander saw that he had conquered the whole world, he wept, you know.
Yes.
He had nothing left to conquer. He had no more worlds left to conquer. But Luke, who we've just talked about, is presenting this kind of epic journey, this odyssey of the spirit moving through all of these different people and communities.
And conquering the world.
And it's one of, as we've seen in the map, we've started in Jerusalem,
yes,
then Judea and Samaria, and now they're all the way to Macedonia.
Yes.
Now, this movement is starting to conquer the world. We see this man of Macedonia, who knows who he was. This is just my interpretation,
yes,
of his vision. But just this man who tried to conquer the world, saying, hey, you know what? It didn't work.
So
we
need
your help.
People in Macedonia were trying to conquer the world, and finally they were conquered by the greatest.
Yes,
by
the
greatest,
king.
The true king. Yeah, by the King of Kings.
Yeah.
So this is I think it's an interesting and exciting element, because it truly is. This is the farthest that they've gone.
Yes,
so far.
Yeah.
Because they were in Turkey, they were in Antioch, Pisidia, and they were in Antioch, of course. But so now they go all the way to Macedonia. And who knows where they will go next?
Yes.
It's just the gospel moves.
I'd like to point out that it's again, we're talking about Acts, so we're talking about the Spirit leading.
Yes.
And that is very, very important to this passage, because they say... I forgot where it was, where
verse
it says...
Six maybe. Were they forbidden? Or?
No, that too. I was going to reference that. But in 10, when he says, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Mm-hmm. So they reasoned that God wanted them to go to Macedonia, which is why they went. And also, as you mentioned in verse 6, they didn't go to Asia because the Spirit forbade them to go.
Right,
and so they're very Spirit-led.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But what a great lesson in any missionary endeavors. Missionary endeavors.
Like, just don't go somewhere.
Yes.
Where are you supposed to go?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Where's the Spirit leading you?
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like the Sermon on the Mount. Knock at the door that you're supposed to knock and it will be opened. Do not knock at the door that you want to knock at.
Yeah, true.
Because what is the point? Like, it won't be open to you because you're not supposed to knock at the door. The same here. Like, say, preach, teach, whatever, at the place where you're supposed to teach.
Yeah.
Not just where you want to do it.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's beautiful. And I think it really is an amazing odyssey that Luke is accounting to these people that are led by the Spirit and moving in all these amazing ways. And remarkably, somehow, they're managing to start to conquer the world. All right, well, we've got to take a short break, guys. But we'll be back with one more character here on Cross Connection Acts. So stick with us. Thanks for sticking with us here on Cross Connection Acts. We have been taking a look at 1 Timothy, then this mysterious vision of the man of Macedonia, and then Luke not just the teller of a story, but a character in the story. And now we're going to take a look at our final character,
Lydia. So tell us about Lydia, because
you're
the character.
Let's take a look at the character profile for Lydia. Let's take a look at this wonderful illustration we have for Lydia. Now, she was a dealer in purple cloth, and you can see there in the image that she's dealing with a purple cloth there. And she's described as... This is interesting. She's described as a worshiper of God before Paul even shows up. But then she receives Paul's message. And she is then converted and hosts Paul and his friends there in her home. And in fact, she'll play a role in the next episode of Cross Connection Acts 2 with Paul and Silas.
But this is so crucial. And I would like us to take a look at this picture again. Because look what happens. So she's sitting by the riverside.
Yes.
And she's also, what she has, do you see that little ball?
The basket?
The basket.
Yep.
What is in that basket?
I hope you have the answer.
it's actually the root of the grass.
Oh, they used to die.
Yes.
Okay.
That you see also behind her. Mm. So it's just basically the root that was used to dye the purple. So this is what they did.
Qualified her as a seller of purple.
Yeah, seller of purple, exactly. So yeah, definitely.
She's in the purple game.
but thinking about it, she was a prominent lady who was actually probably
wealthy.
She would have
been wealthy for this business, right?
Because think about it seriously.
Purple is luxurious.
Purple was extremely luxurious.
And rare.
Nero would be wearing purple.
Mm-hmm.
All the emperors.
Royalty. Yes.
Royalty, exactly. Mm-hmm. Even till this day, if you look at any depiction of Mary... the mother of Jesus, in any art, you will see that her dress is always purple.
Mm.
Anywhere, just Google it. Like Mary, but I'm talking about like any paintings.
Classical paintings.
Classical paintings.
Yes, yeah.
It will be purple. Why? Because she's the mother of Jesus, purple. Yeah. She would be always purple. You just, you know where Mary is, always.
Very interesting.
So this is what it was culturally. So this wealthy lady, and now let's read verse 13, 14, and 15.
Yeah, 16,
No, this is it.
Oh, okay, we're not, okay. No,
but because this is very interesting what is happening. So Mars, could you read these verses?
And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us.
So what can we learn about the faith of Lydia from this little passage?
Well, firstly, that she's described as having a heart for God already. Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder if she would have been a worshiper to the extent of this is where she's by the river to have a worship service. But I mean, she is described.
Well, it says they went there customarily to pray.
So they went customarily. To pray.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she has a heart for God already. But you know, Paul has a message for her. Presumably a message about Jesus, which would be the thing that she's still missing from her life, and she responds really positively to it.
So, and it's so fascinating, because look what happens here. It's just like, so they're sitting by the river, and then verse 15, and so the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and then verse 15.
And when
she and her household
were baptized.
Because they were where?
Yeah,
by the river.
Took that part for granted.
But
they were by the river, so when they were baptized.
But they're there. So the message was like how long? I don't know. Maybe they were there for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Yeah. I don't know. But it was the same day.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's just get baptized now.
Yeah.
So what can we learn from this? Like, because you see, what is happening? Sometimes we present such difficulty for people to actually get in touch with Jesus and even get baptized.
That's a great point. Yeah.
This is exactly what we do not see in the book of Acts.
Absolutely not. Yeah, because that's very true.
Do you believe in Jesus?
There's no quiz here.
No.
Here's the quiz you got to pass, the test you got to pass. Here are the theological and doctrinal loopholes we're going to make you jump through, or hoops we're going to make you jump through, and then you can be baptized. Here, she's receptive to the message of Jesus. That's all that's needed. We'll be baptized.
Of course, she had some understanding of the scripture previously, because
she was a
worshiper of God.
Yeah.
So we can assume that she had some understanding. But even then, we see throughout Cornelius and many other ones, they didn't.
And the Ethiopian official, with Philip?
Yeah, he was reading, but then again, he let's do it. You don't understand, but it's okay. Yeah. You don't have to understand everything.
You will, because you're choosing to walk into this journey of Jesus. That it's not, we shouldn't make baptism the end of that journey. It's just the beginning of a journey. Following Jesus is a way. It's a journey that we're all walking. And let's not make it so hard to start that journey. Hmm.
So what would be like our response, and should we then? Because it's not just about the baptism; it's also about the repentance.
Right.
Because sometimes we think about repentance, but we need to find a way so that you need to change your life first. Mm. Like you need to change your life first, and then you can repent, and then you can join our community.
Right.
You're right. You're right. It is that.
Metanoia.
I would describe happening in 14 when it says the Lord opened her heart.
Yes, yes.
Because that's the thing that's important. We see when we talk about Cornelius and the Spirit is the seal. Mm-hmm. It's the mark of God's authority, and it came to them before they were baptized.
So what is the prerequisite for baptism in this case? In the case of Cornelius, in the case of Lydia, in the case of Ethiopian eunuch, throughout, what is the
Lord opening your heart, metanoia, changing your perspective, meeting Christ, and changing to meet what he is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm looking at Lydia from the perspective of she must have really had... A good head on her shoulders and a good heart. Here's someone who would have been probably had some wealth, a position of prominence in her community, someone who already was a worshiper of God, but she knew that there was something she still lacked. And she was so receptive to this message that Paul had to give, because we've seen previously that people in power or wealth, they're described as women of importance, they reject Paul and Barnabas and actually persecute them. But in this case, she accepts. So she had a sense of her need for Jesus and immediately responds to Paul's message.
what a lesson for us to remain humble enough to receive the message. And it's just even, because it would have been, again, the outcome could have been, as we studied previously, there could be rejection, there could be persecution, but no, she said, no, I'm accepting because I'm, I want to learn more. Right. I want to experience more.
And to go back to the theme that we began with Timothy, that God is going to use whatever you are, wherever you are, in order to help you advance the kingdom. Lydia is someone who has wealth. This is probably a very nice home and estate that she invites people to. Mm-hmm. But God is able to use that. And she actually does serve as a safe haven for Paul and Silas, we'll see in the very next episode of Cross Connection. That it's not like the gospel is anti-rich. Or anti-wealth, or you know, God can use whoever you are, whatever your position, God can use that for the kingdom.
So what does it mean to open our hearts to God, just like Lydia did?
I think being humble and being willing to set aside maybe some of your preconceived ideas, being willing to just be humble and allow God to mold you.
It doesn't say that she opened her heart. It says the Lord opened her heart. Yes. Mm. You just have to be in that humble enough place to just allow that to be done.
But this is so important and crucial. I want to be like Lydia. And like Timothy.
And like Paul. And like Paul.
And like Luke. I hope you also want to be just like them. So thank you so much for joining us. It was a great study. I really enjoyed it. As we say goodbye, we invite you to join us in being a little more like Lydia today and be receptive to God's message. Until next time, stay connected with Jesus in your everyday life and also here on Cross Connection Acts.